1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. And I want to say some things just at the start of this year. Hopefully you've got your Bible, and I hope you have something to write with. And I hope you're ready to learn some things, because I'm telling you, when you take one subject in the Bible and you study it and study it and study it, it seems like there's just no end. And I just want to tell you right off the bat, there is, and Brother Joel said it, there's absolutely no way we're going to get through even those handouts, so don't panic, okay? Again, I've been studying on spiritual gifts for 30 years. I just got done preaching the second time at our church, and it literally took me 3 years, almost the day I just checked, started in January 19th of 2019, and I just finished it a week ago Wednesday. And that was all the gifts. That was even going over the manifestation gifts, or the sign showy gifts for the Jews. But that was fascinating. Even that was fascinating. I'd never studied that out in detail on what those really were in the Bible, and are they for today. And I like nailing something down. Many years ago, I asked my preacher if he had any information on the spiritual gifts. And he said no. And he kind of warned me. He said, now you got to be kind of careful on even teaching that, because people will go to seed on it. And I know that. I grew up with two brothers that were Pentecostals. And one strong Pentecostal, and just would argue for hours on end. And I remember one night he was quite a bit older than I, and we went around and around on a construction job. And I went home, and I was in Bible college at the time, and this was all kind of new to me. And I thought, God, I don't know. I don't believe what He's saying is right. I don't believe it's biblical, but you got to show me. And I'm not kidding you. That night, I opened up my Bible, and that night, every passage I looked at, God just like He said, there's the answer right there. And I spent that whole night just reading those scriptures. And the next day, when we went to work and my brother started talking again, I said, just a minute. And I went and got my old Bible. And I just laid it right out. Now again, it's not me. Again, you're not going to get it all. This is a lifetime study. But I am telling you, if you will put the time in, again, I'm not going to we'll just hit the highlights here tonight. But it's a lifetime study. But it'll help you. I've had pastors go through this, and they'll tell me even years later, say, I'm still, after several years, I'm figuring out who has what gift and how to handle that. As an example, let me give you one example. When we are in our church, we had a young lady that I know her gift is serving. After a while, it doesn't take you too long to watch somebody in a church ministry, and you can peg them just like that. Now, you say, what's the benefit of that? Well, we had one young lady, godly lady, without a doubt, her calling of God is service. Sweet spirit, and always willing to do flowers, do work in the kitchen. And then we had another family join from another church. And she was an older lady. She's still both in our church. And her gift was serving too. And I thought, okay, you can't have two steering wheels in the kitchen. We got to figure this out. I knew right off the bat, if I did not handle that right, that we're going to have trouble. You ladies know. Sometimes some ladies think they own the kitchen, the church kitchen. And many times if somebody, and you're going to see that, you're going to see Martha in the Bible. And so you say, well, how did you handle it? I preached once in a while. I sow seed. And what I was talking about is your gifts. And if you have your gift figured out and you use it right, man, it's the most blessed thing in the world. But I am telling you, you can even look in the Bible and see the negatives of the gifts. And I'm sad to say, most people, I can figure their gift out not by what they're doing right. I'm serious. I can figure out what their gift is by what they're doing wrong. Now what I have there, that little middle handout, hopefully you've got that one that says prophecy. And I want to spend a little time on that. I want to go through a couple things, the introduction. So I've got you there at 1 Corinthians 12. And I want you to think about these things here tonight. I'm just going to say a bunch of, I'm going to load your wagon. And again, if you want to, here's the information. We're going to see if these things, we're going to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. The handout, the middle insert one, is you can get that on the internet. A lot of people have keyed in on this and say, well, that reminds me of this publication and that. And that's because it's true. You remember a few years ago, older preachers, you remember when the four temperaments came out. You remember that? And a lot of churches got involved in that, and melancholy and sanguine and choleric and can't remember the fourth one. And I remember churches really get wrapped up in that. And now what I hear is five love languages. And I'm not against that, but I don't believe there's five. I think there's seven. And I think it has to do with the gifts. I think what they're doing is they're touching on it. And what the world always will do is they'll touch on it. But I want to see, what does the Bible say? Yes. Now I want you to think a couple things. And I asked Brother Joel, are there folks in here from Pentecostal backgrounds? Are they solid? Do they understand that the sign gifts were for Jews? He said yes. But I want you to think about the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians. They are not a book of how to do it. The two books of 1 and 2 Corinthians are baby food. Both of them, the whole thing. He is talking at the beginning. He said, when I was with you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal.
Right.
Even unto babes. Just because you have a gift, and you might know your gift, that doesn't make you spiritual, and it doesn't keep you spiritual. You say, well, how could that be? Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. But you can mess up your gifts. Ask Samson.
Yeah.
You can mess up your life, even if you're gifted of God. The books of Corinthians, he spent one chapter dealing with lawsuits. He dealt another chapter dealing with physical relationships, of maybe even a couple that aren't even married. Now concerning, he talks about the relationship of a man and a woman. He spends one chapter talking about rebuking them about the Lord's Supper,
right. Getting
drunk. But he spends three chapters. He dealt one chapter five dealing with immorality in the church, one chapter apiece. But he spent three chapters trying to get them straightened out on tongues. So I'm just telling you, keep that in the back of your mind. I don't want to get off on that, but a lot of people are off on it. And if you're here tonight and thinking maybe a little bit of direction, but you're not going to get a handle on a whole lot of it. Here's why. It took me years to figure out what my gift was. And because some of the gifts kind of go together. Mercy, if you think about it. Mercy, somebody's got a very merciful spirit. Serving and giving. Well, they're going to kind of go together. But the words. Then you take somebody who is an exhorter. They take the Bible and they challenge people. And a prophet, somebody might preach. And a teacher likes the Bible. They kind of go together.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'd go out and preach. And people would say, I think your gift, I know your gift. Your gift's exhorting. They used to throw me for a while. I'm just telling you, this is what you're going to experience. If you don't have any idea on your gift, you're going to experience this. Don't get confused. Don't get discouraged. They say, your gift's exhorting. And it dawned on me, no, it's not. I know that's not my gift. But what I'm doing when I'm going out and preaching, I am exhorting. I'm not there to straighten the church out. I'm not there to try to chew them out. I'm not their shepherd. I'm going out to try to exhort, to challenge, to encourage. Now, in a later part of my life, people say, oh, your gift must be teaching. That's not my gift either. But that's what God wants me to do. I know what God wants me to do. So when you start figuring out what your gift is, and the Bible teaches that everybody has a gift, then you start figuring out why. We're going to see why, even in a church, it comes out in church meetings, business meetings, ladies in the kitchen, Bible studies, deacons meetings. It'll come out. You start figuring out why people are doing what they're doing. And God said, look, I've got a plan for all these gifts. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. And I wish we could preach it a little bit more, but now concerning spiritual gifts. Now that little phrase, now concerning, Paul would use that. Back up real quick. I like seeing it myself in the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. I think that's the one I want. No, let's see. 1 Corinthians 7. See that now concerning? See that in verse chapter 7, verse 1? Then look at verse number 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Now it's touching. That's a little, that word peri. You ever heard periscope? A perimeter? Means I'm circling around. I'm going to deal with something different. He uses that. Look back at chapter 12. Now concerning. Okay, he's going to spend three chapters on a new subject. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, it's for Christians. God never makes the mistake of calling a lost person a brother. Lot did when he called the Sodomites brothers, and they about killed him for it. He's the only one I know of. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I have that up here. I said the sad thing is, most Christians, I would say about 90% of most Christians, are totally ignorant on spiritual gifts. And when Paul would make that statement, he used it, I think, five times, I would not have you ignorant That was something you really needed to know. He used another phrase, what know ye not? And when he used that phrase, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You should know that, is what he says. What know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that you have of God? But when he used this phrase, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Even he said, you really should, you need to know this one. You ought to know this. I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep. You didn't miss the rapture, Thessalonians. He's saying, you really need to know this. I would not have you ignorant. And I said, ignorant means, of course, not to know. And there are several reasons people don't know. Sometimes they've never been taught. Sometimes people are blind to what they want their gift to be and what they think it is. But Paul the Apostle says that, I don't want you to live like that. And I said, most people are not only ignorant of what their gift is, they're ignorant of what the gifts are. Because you can get it on the internet. You can get anything you want. I always say, if you want to find somebody in the world who will show you how to build a house out of matchsticks, I'll bet you can find somebody. And you can find all kinds of crazy. I don't mess with it. In fact, I sent that out. There's only one test that I've seen that I believe sticks to the Bible that I think, because people say, well, how many gifts are there? And so some say, well, there's 15 or there's 22 and there's all the, and they'll start adding even things that aren't even in the Bible. Now, once you look back over, then I'm going to read this first. Jesus died not only so you could go to heaven. He died so you could go to church. Do you know that?
Amen. Yeah.
The new thing I hear young couples today is, what do we even need church for?
Yeah.
You ever read your Bible?
Come on.
God, the Bible says, husband, love your wife, even as also as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He died so you could go to church.
Yeah.
That's what it says. He said he loved you so much, he died so you could have church. Now, yeah, salvation is what we want. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. And that's why we need to know what our gift is and where our position is. I believe every Christian ought to have a ministry in the church.
Yeah,
say, does everybody in your church? No, but I sure push them to.
Amen.
You ought to know. The Bible says that he's gifted everybody. And that we're part of that. And we'll see that in a minute here. And here's why. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy without blemish. Now, I just put here real quick. That's kind of just my thought here. That the Bible teaches that every Christian. The more we become like Christ. The more we'll exercise all of the gifts. I believe you have one. People say, well, I took the test and I kind of tested high on prophecy and I tested high on teacher. Well, there could be a reason for that. Younger people, there's younger people here tonight. By the way, this isn't preaching. You say, well, you're acting like you're preaching. This is teaching. Preaching is inspiring you to do something. Teaching is trying to challenge you to know something, apply it in your life.
Yes.
And I'm not saying younger people can't figure out what their gift is. But a lot of times kids, if they're obedient kids, they're just doing what their dad says. I know what my gift is. I try not to tell people. I try never to tell people what I think their gift is either, because I could be wrong. I have one of my children. I think I know what his gift is. And he tells me too, but he's just such a good kid. He did all of them. And it makes sense, doesn't it? The more we're like Christ, the more we'll give.
Yeah.
The more we're like Christ, the more we'll show mercy.
Good.
You know, that you look at Paul tonight, you can literally do this with Paul. You can see where Paul practiced all the gifts, but he knew what his one gift was. We'll see it here maybe tonight. He had one gift, he knew what his gift was. We're supposed to be, the Bible says we're equipped to be conformed to the image of his Son. As we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with those ministry gifts, we'll be changed into the same image to be like him. Now, I'm going to have you look over. I had you turn to Romans, but please turn over to Ephesians. Real quick here, and I want to just kind of use these as the slides are laid out here. We're just going to kind of do it as the Lord leads here tonight. There are three places that the lists are given in the Bible. There's one in Ephesians, there's one in Romans, and there's one in 1 Corinthians. And the thing is, they're different. What's kind of interesting, though, is they do kind of parallel. Over in Romans, there's seven. I call them ministry gifts. They're service gifts. In Corinthians, there's nine. And Paul actually does call them manifestation. He said, now the manifestation is given to every man to profit withal. And that word manifestation means manifest. It means visible, to be seen. These are the showy gifts, the sign gifts. That's why we say that. We're not just saying something we learned in Bible college. It's what the Bible literally teaches. They're manifestation gifts. But he also gave men as gifts. And this is pretty important here, but even the order, Paul said in the church, he said, firstly, apostles. The word he uses is proton. Second, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm trying to get off on that, but I want you to look at Ephesians. See if I can get back here what I get on my handout here. You can either look here or you can look in your Bible. But here's why it's so important. When Jesus died, he suffered your hell. And the Bible uses these two words. He descended into the heart of the earth. Then after 3 days, he ascended. Great stuff, right? That'd be victory over sin, death, and hell, Satan, and everything else. He ascended into heaven, but right before his ascension, he paused and gave gifts unto men. You say, what? That's what it says. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He took those saints that were in the heart of the earth, took them to paradise up in third heaven now. Yeah. Paul said to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. In the Old Testament, went to the heart of the earth. Now to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Now Paul said he was caught up to heaven, to paradise. Paradise is in the heart of the earth. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now you see these little parentheses? Parentheses are a note to the reader. And he said, now he ascended. Now that he ascended, what is it that, but he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So before he ascended, when he come up out of the ground, what is it? Before he ascended, he stopped and gave gifts to the church. Your pastor is a gift to you. Yep. There are men that are were given as gifts to the church. Now I have it maybe here, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Preachers, you know this. The Bible teaches that the church, for no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. I don't know which corner it was in this building, but I guarantee you, one of these corners was the starting point. You had to. This whole building is pulled off of one. Maybe they stuck a stake over here. That's your cornerstone. And you put that thing down, and everything is built. Every 2x4, every time you use a level and straighten out a wall and put the drywall on, you're actually going off that chief cornerstone. And the Bible teaches that Christ is the chief cornerstone, and then Ephesians says that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20.
That's right.
I think we're done with that supernatural prophet. If you look right here in the middle of this word evangelist is the word angel. The word angel just simply means a messenger with the good news. I believe that's what missionaries are.
Amen.
Some people say missionaries are apostles. I don't believe that. We're not laying the foundation. Do you think we're laying the foundation of the church again? For no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid. It's done. Those supernatural things, those gifts. Here, let me give you a good proof of it. This just blows my mind when you study this out. Do you know when the apostles were dying towards the end of the Bible, they didn't replace themselves with apostles?
Yeah.
That blows my mind. So what did they replace themselves with? Pastors.
Oh, that's true.
What did Paul say to Titus? For this cause I have left thee in Crete, that thou mayest ordain elders. That's what a pastor is in every church.
That's it.
When the new Acts starts out, it's apostles. Then pretty soon it's apostles and elders. You check it out. Apostles and elders. Before it's done, Paul calls the elders of Ephesus. And Paul said, I went to James and the elders. That for an apostle to humble himself. In fact, they quit calling themselves apostles. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, to the elders which are among you, who am also an elder. How did John end 2 John and 3 John? He said the elder.
Yeah.
They started calling themselves pastors. You know what Paul never called himself? He called himself an apostle, but he didn't call himself a prophet. He didn't call himself an evangelist, although I think he did the work of an evangelist. We can look at that. He called himself a teacher. See how this is worded? That some apostles, some prophets, Some evangelists, some pastors, say that's how the Greek is. That's why I believe these pastors of today, they're to work in tandem. I believe missionaries, you're going out with the good news. What ought to come next when you get people saved? You ought to get a church established. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou mightest ordain elders in every church. Now I want you to see this, and I've got it here. When you were little, and your parents gave you a gift, what would have happened had you left the gift aside without opening it? How would they have felt? What are you doing with the gift your father has given you? Did you open them? Are you using your gift? Now you might be here tonight and say, Pastor, I don't even know what my gift is. That's okay. But you need to find out what it is. The Bible says he paused and he gave gifts to men. Look over at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. This is, of course, I use 1 Corinthians 12 as my text because most people are ignorant of what their gift is. And Paul said that ought not to be. So what are the gifts? Well, you'll see them in Romans 12. Now, I want to say this to you. Oh, okay, sorry. And by the way, you don't offend me at all. I get going and kind of blank everything out. I have to have my men. I've told them, look, if you need to get up and do this or yell at me, I don't care, okay? If I say Mark and it's John and you preachers know it, you won't offend me a bit. If I ask you tonight, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You said, I don't know. If I said, are you awake? Well, hopefully you know that. But I'm asking you tonight, don't we tell lost people, are you saved? And they'll say, I don't know. Don't you Christians say, hey, you need to get that thing straightened out. So that's why the Bible says, hey, do you know what your gift is? I don't know. You need to get that thing straightened out. Now, we usually use Romans 12, 1 and 2. These two verses changed my life when I was a young man and away from God. I got saved when I was 12, and then older, I gave my body and gave my life to Him. And it was this verse right here. We use these verses. I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's talking about you now. Now you're saved. If you're a brother, you're saved. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what's harder than dying for Christ? Living for Christ. Right. Living sacrifice, holy. So it might mess my life up. Not if you've given it to the Lord, it's holy. Holy doesn't mean sinless. Holy means sanctified or set apart. You can have a holy life. Acceptable unto God, He'll take it. Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, that means like Plato being squeezed in your fingers, but be ye transformed like us morphos, like a grub turning into a butterfly. Have you noticed the world likes to shape you with music and TV and our society and colleges and campuses and politics and now the school boards are conforming the world. He said, don't let them shape you like that. Be transformed. That's from the inside out. By the renewing of your minds that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. But I want you to notice that's not the end of the context. Now we use that all the time. But how are you going to do that? He tells you in the next several verses. For we say through the grace that is given to every man. Now every time he mentions the gifts, he says everybody's got these. In fact, I've got one of these, and we'll see the verse maybe come by it here. The Bible says God gave not the Spirit by measure unto Christ. That means metron. I don't like the metric system. We never did get over that. I've still got 2-liter pop bottles, but that's about it. I'm glad they kind of pitched that. But he said God didn't measure out a certain amount of the Holy Spirit for Jesus. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's got it all. Amen. But what He's done when you got saved, He gave you kind of a head start. He gave you something you'll be good at. If you'd serve the Lord, you could really be good at. That doesn't mean you just do that. Let's say your gift is giving. I got a family member this I know is gift giving. I've had church members that are giving. I had a guy come to our church 3 weeks ago and gave me a $25,000 check.
Amen.
He's never been back yet. Now he's a good man. He's on the road. He's working. He's excited about the church. But that was the first Sunday. And I was sitting, I stand there listening to him talk, and he's telling about his testimony, how he got saved, his life. And I'm thinking, buddy, I know what your gift is. His gift is giving. He really is. Not just because he gave a whopping amount of money, but his spirit and his attitude, I can tell what it is. There it says in Romans in chapter 12, verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now again, I'm jumping ahead on some of this. I have to, because this is where we're at. Just because you're gifted in something doesn't mean everybody thinks their gift is the most important. They really do. I'll say again, if your gift is giving, then sometimes if you're carnal, I've seen a lot of Christians that are really, they know how to make money. One of the preacher boys who come out of our church, good young man. I know his gift's giving. He's had a heart to give all since he was a kid. I've watched him. And he's a pastor now. And his heart's giving. But that doesn't mean you don't go out and witness and do the work of an evangelist.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Sometimes I say, well, my gift is serving. I don't really want to go witnessing. I don't think I just, that's just not my gift. Hey, in Christ, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The more we're like Christ, the more we'll do them all.
Yeah.
The more you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the more you'll do all of them. Yeah. Keep reading there. He said, for any man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Not, that doesn't mean not drunk. He said, come on. You're not the only one playing ball in the church. There's other people that God can use.
Yes.
Now, I like this. I use our men. We started our church 30 years ago now. We're going 31 years. When I have meetings, I don't have the ladies come. Ladies, sorry. I just say, why? Because that's how they did in the Bible. They called the men together.
Yeah, right.
Yep. They said, if the women want to learn anything, let them ask at home.
Right.
So I don't like that. It don't matter. So the Bible says. There are some things. Here's another thing. When you figure your gift out, it takes a lot of pressure off of you. Especially preachers. Do you preachers ever compare with other preachers? That's about all we do. He just said, don't. You're not all that. But you sometimes we'll look at somebody else and other preachers say, man, I wish I could do that. And when I was younger, I'd try to do it all. When I take a bite, I take the whole thing. Man, I got to try to do that. I can't write. I can't organize. Man, that guy, I'm thinking of a preacher, a well-known preacher right now. His gift, I believe, is administration. And his dad's was as a preacher. So he got a double shot at it. He grew up with a dad who was an organizer. And the son's, that's his gift. And he's going and blowing for the Lord. But you know what? That'll never be me. And guess what? It's okay. Because God didn't create me that way. I don't have to compare to somebody else. I need to know what God wants for me to do. You can rest in that. I don't worry about it anymore. I know what God wants me to do. And I can rest in that. That's what he's saying. To think soberly according as God to dealt to every man. Here's that word metron again. A measure of faith. God has given you a measure of a gift that he wants you to use. But that doesn't mean you're all that in a bag of chips. Keep reading. For as we have many members in one body, your local church, and all members have not the same office.
Right.
So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I love this. He said, look, we're like a body. Now I got a little illustration of this later, but I'll quote the verse to you. Do you remember over in Corinthians where Paul said, he said, how can the eye say I have no need of the ear? If the whole body were an eye, where are the hearing? And how can the ear say, I have no need, you know, and he goes through the body. He's talking about a body part. He said, look, the body's not one big eyeball. Can you imagine if we all had the same gift and it'd be like a 6-foot eyeball rolling around up here? I could say, I see you, but I couldn't hear you. And he said, hey, this is a body. He's trying to tell you how to get along. There's several churches here. There's not just churches that need to get along. Homes need to get along. He's trying to tell you, get along. Well, how do you get along? If you know what God wants you to do. Keep reading. So we, verse 6, 5, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing. We got different gifts. And again, you don't decide. If we were going to talk on tongues and the Pentecostal movement, you don't decide what your gift is. The Bible said God's put this... He as it pleased him, he puts people in the body how he wants. You don't decide it. So, well, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost of speaking in tongues. How come nobody had preachers? Have you ever had anybody coming to you and saying, "Preacher, I've received the baptism of the Spirit of service. From now on, you need something done, toilets cleaned, snow shoveled, I'm your man. I've received that baptism of the Holy Ghost of service." You know, tongues is the only one that's a one and done. It's not ever coming back. I can prove it. The Bible teaches that in the millennium, he's going to turn one language. And the reason is tongues was not a sign of God's blessing. It was a sign of God's impending doom. In every passage, he prophesied it. Maybe we'll look at that Sunday. It's not a sign that God's blessing them. It was a sign, if you don't listen to my word, try these men with the stammering lip and other tongues that you don't understand. He's mad about it. I can prove it to you. I'm not just saying something. Keep reading there, he gives them. Having then gifts, deferring according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That's one. If you want to mark your Bible, I've got my Bible color-coded, marked, and inked, and everything else. Number two, or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. He's telling you something. He said, hey, we're all different. If you got the gift of prophecy, he tells you something about it. Then he says ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, that's three. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, that's four. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now he's saying something right there. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now what he's telling you is what those, we're looking at the ministry gifts in Romans chapter 12. The ones there at the top. I'll just say this real quick. Do you see the one in red, prophecy? Now I wouldn't fuss with you on this, but it puzzled me for a while. How come prophecy is in all three of them? Well, I thought the new covenant was really for the Jews, and you and I Gentiles are the dogs that got tagged in.
Yeah.
He said, a new covenant will I make with Israel and the house of Judah, Jeremiah 31. You and I just got tagged in. So he's still going for the Jews. And you know what they hitched up on? The apostles and prophets. And I think that's why God hitched up right there. They need an evangelist. And so that when he said, hey, he built the church on the foundation of apostles and prophets, and the Jews are hitched up right here. That's why he believed that he's not done with that with the Jews. I'll show you that in just a little bit here. But keep reading there. That's prophecy. Then it says, verse number 8 again, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I want to show you something here. We already looked at that. I said what the ministry gifts are not. Now just for maybe younger Christians, these right here, these are not salvation. These don't save you.
Right.
They don't make you saved or anything like that. They're not salvation. Yes, salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift. That's one of God's gifts. He offers you salvation free, and that is the Holy Spirit himself. But that's different than the gifts from the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not fruits, plural. It's fruit. That's number two. But the fruit of the Spirit is, doesn't mean you get a little bit of love. Maybe it says if you're filled with the Spirit and the Spirit's working in your life, you will have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. I'll say it again. He said, but the fruit, the result of the Spirit is. And he lists nine things. That's not the gifts of the Spirit. It's not the gifts of the Christian, the fruit of the Christian. The fruit of a Christian, there's five that I know of. One of them's giving. Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And you can go through, and I've got different verses down here for you on these things that you can see that sometimes giving is a fruit of a Christian obeying the Lord. Praising Him. By Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Praising God. That's a fruit. Of course, winning people to the Lord. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The gifts we're looking at, if it'll click over here, I want you to just, you probably can't see that real good, but I want you to just tell you, and you can look these verses up and see if these things are so. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, you know, would come and would go. Holy Spirit came on Moses. Holy Spirit came on Samson. The Holy Spirit come on David. The Holy Spirit come on Saul. But he would leave. There's a difference between coming on you and coming in you. Remember one time Moses needed help, and there was 70 guys. The power of God came on them. And they started prophesying because the Spirit of God came on them. And Joshua heard about it and said, hey, rebuke them. And here's what Moses said about that. Moses said unto him, right there in the middle, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon all them." He did. He did in the New Testament. Moses said, "Man, I wish everybody had the Spirit of God on them. I wish the Holy Spirit of God just come on everybody." You remember the promise of the Old Testament was that he put the law on tables of stone? But he said here, a new heart, look at the top. "A new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put with you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you." That's the new covenant. The promise is, and this is why this is important, because in this handout I have a lot of Old Testament examples. You say, "Well, those are Old Testament, that was before the church." Hey, there's always been mercy. There's always been giving, right? But in the Old Testament, God, once in a while, he'd put a spirit on somebody like Samson or Moses for a special promise. But would you look real quick over at Acts chapter 2? Look over at Acts chapter 2. The promise of the new covenant was, and you can check this out in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, other verses. The promise of the new covenant is, he's going to put his spirit within everybody. Again, we struggle sometimes with these verses, even Baptist preachers. On the day of Pentecost, I'm trying to stay focused on what we're looking at here specifically, and they get up and they speak in tongues. Do you know tongues never saved anybody?
Right.
Probably need some glue or something here. So what they did on Pentecost, they most certainly didn't. When they spoke in tongues, they mocked it. So what got their attention? Look what it says in Acts 2, verse number 15. "These are not drunken with, as you suppose, seeing that it's but the third hour of the day. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days." I like what verse 14 says. "And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice." That's what got him saved. Say, really? Yep. Look over at verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Yeah, the tongues got their attention. I don't deny that. But the tongues didn't save them. You know what saved them? Preaching.
Yeah.
That's what got them saved. They only spoke in tongues three times in the New Testament anyway. After three times, and they were all critical times, you don't hear tongues ever again except the baby church trying to tell them, "Look, you'd be better not even having church," is what he told the Corinthians. Here's what he said. He said, "In this I praise you not. You come together, not for the better, but for the worse." He said, "You are such a messed up church on the gifts. When you come together, you're doing more damage by having church." It's what he said. And after that, you don't hear of tongues in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd Third John, Jude, Revelation. You don't hear it ever again. You think if it was that important, he'd deal with it. Leave it to the devil to take the one gift that's one and done and say, "That's what you need." You know what you need? You need these right here.
Yes.
Here's what they are. I got them kind of color-coded here. Prophecy, let us prophesy according to our portion of faith. Ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Teaching, exhorting, giveth, ruling, and showeth mercy. You're one of those. Now, something I did here, and I kind of hopefully you got the handout before to explain some of this. Got you a little running start. When he lists these here, and I kind of kept them color-coded, somebody noticed here many years ago, I didn't notice this, but the next several phrases, they just seemed almost, they go right with these gifts. He'll say something positive about this, and then he'll say, "But here's your problem right here." Then he'll mention ministry. "Here's a good thing. Go ahead and do that. You're good. Ministry, yeah, do it with brotherly love. Mind not high things, condescend to men in low estates. Mercy." I like the one, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." Don't make a big show about giving. He said, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, give it to us." Yeah, do that, but provide things honest in the sight of men. Make sure everything's out in the open when you're giving. You see that? Now look at that, your Bible. You can mark your Bible like that later on if you want to, but I've got mine marked. He tells you, and that's what we're going to be looking at on the handouts that I gave you. So in verse number 6, "Whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith." His message to them fits. Verse number 9. "Let love be without dissimulation." Now take out that first one on prophecy. And I'm going to say, we'll start that just as quick as we can here tonight. prophecy, and I'm going to try to get you the blanks filled in. And I'm going to speak them fast as I can, though I'll try to go slow. Prophecy is the Spirit-given capacity. Is the Spirit-given capacity of insight into the Scriptures. Now I have a little guy preaching there because a lot of preachers, that is their gift. You talk to them. Let me give you a little secret. I've had preachers tell me, I know I'm called to preach, but I don't really like people. I say that. I say, pastoring a church is great except for the people. If it just, you know why? Because that's what a prophet has problem with. Yeah. Just run your mind. See, you don't need a stupid computer. You got the Bible in your head. Start thinking of some of the old prophets. You think Elijah liked people? He didn't like people. You think Jonah liked people? Those guys struggled. They were prophets, but they struggled. Now, I didn't say that every pastor is a prophet, and I don't believe that all pastors that are prophets are even called a pastor.
Sure.
In fact, I believe a lot of preachers are pastoring that shouldn't probably be pastoring. But they're, you know why they're drawn to it? Because they're good at it. They're good at it. A man that's got the gift of prophecy, if he wants to, when he gets right with God, he first off thinks, hey, maybe I ought to be a preacher. Well, maybe you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Because the reason that so many preachers are pastors, do you know very many other preachers whose gift is mercy? Not very often. I think I'm looking at one right now in his church. Got a great church, and his church takes advantage of him and walks all over him. Most guys whose gift is mercy can't stay in the ministry because they're going to eat you alive. I'm just saying, it fits your Bible. Let's look at that again. The Spirit-given capacity of insight into the Scriptures in order to prepare others for the issues they'll face. The ministry gift of prophecy for this day is not the manifestation sign gift, although it's listed there, nor is it the supernatural insight from a prophet. Prophecy, and I want you to get this. I will spend a little time on this, but prophecy is a Greek word, prophetia, to foretell or foretell, comes from pro, meaning before, like proceed, proceed or before, thema, to speak. It means to speak before. It does not necessarily mean to speak before in terms of time. It can mean to speak before in terms of audience. And that's how God uses it for you and I today. I can prove it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. Let's look at those, what he's talking about, prophecy. Now, we won't have to do this with the other ones quite so much, but people get so mixed up on these things. I want to just show you what the Bible says about it. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and kind of glance back at your handout. I'm going to read some of it. You can check the Scriptures out later. Number one there, the gift of prophecy is listed in all three gifts. Number two, this is due to the fact that the Jews as a nation stopped up on believing the apostles and prophets. Did they not? How many times did Paul say, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest, but he still wouldn't get saved. They've kind of held up on that one. And so they need to be saved. They need an evangelist. Now he's not done with the apostles. The next one says to the apostles, this is due to the fact the Jews of the nation stopped up and believing the apostles and prophets concerning Christ. Therefore, this gift is on hold until the nation is saved by accepting Christ, and then we'll proceed. And we're going to look at Acts 2 in a moment. In Matthew 19, he told the 12 apostles, ye that have contended with me will sit on 12 thrones ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. He's not done with those guys. In fact, Revelation teaches that the foundation of the cities are still going to have their names. The New Jerusalem has their names in the gates of the gates and the walls of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles.
Right.
Now I want you to, hopefully there, I don't know, hopefully, did I say Acts 2? That's what I'm going to have you go to now. If I said a different verse, I want you to look at Acts 2.
Yeah.
Acts 2, look at it. Now the whole passage is Jews, okay? He says, verse number 5, and you ought to mark your Bible, it'd really help you stay from false doctrine. Verse number 5, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews. It says they understood their own language. They said in verse 7, how do these speak? They're all Galileans. We hear them, verse number 8, in our own tongue. You know what the word tongue is? Dialectus. They not only were speaking the languages of the Jews, they were speaking the dialects. See, if I tried to learn Navajo, I probably never could do it, but I'd never be able to get the dialect down, right? These guys said, this blows our mind. They got the y'alls in there. They got the go fetch it in there. They got the creek don't rise. That's what they said. How do we hear every man speak in our own dialect, our own tongue? They were amazed. Verse number 11, Peter said, ye men of Judea and Jerusalem. It's all a Jewish passage. Verse number 22, ye men of Israel. He's still offering the kingdom to them. He's still trying to get... The book of Acts is a hinge book. It's like the doors on the hinge. You're going from Old Testament, New Testament, law of grace. From looking forward to Christ, looking back at Christ. It's a hinge. That's why there's only three times they speak in tongues. And each time there was a Jew standing there listening to it.
That's right.
Because the same chapter, the same book that was so messed up on tongues that he said, you're ignorant. The very next verse he said, now you Gentiles. The problem was, is you got a bunch of Gentiles in the Corinthian church messing with the sign gifts. He said, you're all messed up. Some of you are cursing and swearing, and you don't even know you're cursing and swearing. That's what he said, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 and 3. He said, no man that speaks by the Holy Spirit calleth Jesus accursed. What are you guys, you're told, you Gentiles are messing with stuff you shouldn't even mess with. But look what he says here, verse number 17. It shall come to pass in the last days. I think we're in them, heading to the end, don't you?
Yes.
But notice, this was the promise. I will pour out my spirit upon how many people?
All
flesh and your sons. Who do you think that is? Now he's thinking prophetically of the Jews. This, he is quoting Joel, by the way. This is how Joel, the prophecy was. He said, I'll pour out my spirit. He really wants those Jews saved. Not because God's a racist. When God said, Christ said, now don't go to any... Don't you go to the Samaritans, don't go to the Gentiles. You go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and you tell them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now if you know your Bible, he's not being racist. He wanted them Jews saved. He said, if you Jews repent, for the kingdom of heaven is within your, is, he says, at hand. It means all you got to do is take it. Right there it is. That's what that means. Just reach out and take it. He said, I'll pour out my spirit, look at it, upon your sons and your daughters shall what? Oh, so God's not done with that in one way. Maybe supernaturally he's not, but this is future. Your sons and daughters? Well, I thought women weren't supposed to preach. Well, they're not the pastor. See, we just constantly are ramming. The reason we have so much trouble in our doctrine is we're ramming. What? I don't know, my two boys, they're both preachers, and of course Nick's out of our church, and I got some other guys that we'll call, we'll kick ideas around. So, well, I thought, have you ever done this? I thought it said, go, how many of you think you're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Just the pastor? Everybody's to preach. There's a difference between preaching and pastoring. Don't ram your understanding of the Bible in the Bible. He said, your daughters, you say, well, what's that mean? Prophesying is simply sharing the scriptures with somebody, and I'll show you that in a minute. Your young men shall see visions, the Jews. Young men will dream dreams. There's three things he mentions. Prophecy, vision, dreams. Do you notice anything missing in there? The Pentecostals like this verse on? Where's tongues at? They all say that. Oh, this is the day of Pentecost. They're going to speak. It doesn't say that they're going to do tongues ever again. Where's it at? Keep reading. And on my spirits and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, but of blood and fire and vapor and smoke. That's in the trib. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's not done with prophecy. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this, boy, I used to have to argue with my brothers on this, but it has to do with prophecy. Of course, he tells about charity, and that's different than love. The King James writers knew what they were doing. I asked my old preacher, who was 92 years old. I've mentioned him when he was 92, died in 1992, born in 1899. I said, why did they, and he told me why. I won't get into it, but if you want to know, you can ask me later. Verse number 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Things do change. Well, they spoke in tongues in the Bible. Yeah, Noah built an ark, but I'm not going to. I know it's a lot of snow, but... Whether they prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, do you think he's talking about knowledge? Are we all blithering idiots here tonight? Or could he be talking about the supernatural, the word of knowledge? Every Pentecostal preacher, I got a word of knowledge. Somebody out in TV land needs to give $10,000 to this ministry. Goofy. You know how you get knowledge today? That book.
Yeah.
You know how to get wisdom? I have a word of wisdom. I have a word of wisdom. Somebody out there in radio land is going to give me a double bonus here of money. Word of wisdom. How do you get wisdom? If any man among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it the liberty to all men and upbraid not. You ask God for it, you find wisdom in the Bible. It's all faith. Some people got the supernatural gift of faith in the early church. But he said, even in the church, you know what? They started out doing miracles. And pretty soon, Paul, they're dying. I always said, they started out, God sends an angel. And they're released from prison. Then a little bit later, God sends an earthquake and they're released from prison. You know what happens towards the end? They're dying in prison. For a while, Paul's handkerchief could heal somebody. But why towards the end of his ministry said, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Timothy, drink no longer water, but take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And anybody who's a drinker knows that ain't booze.
That's right.
If you say it is, you're a liar. Because alcohol does not calm your stomach. Well, that's a whole nother sermon.
Amen.
He says here, look at chapter 12 or 13 there. He says, prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues will cease. Knowledge. Well, some will say, when does that happen? Verse number 9, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come.
Amen.
You know what that is? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be what?
Perfect.
When he closed out the Bible, he said, this book, you don't add another word to the book of this what?
Amen.
There's no supernatural revelation. I even say, you look in the Old Testament, most of the time, those guys did not say, they didn't have some great vision of some supernatural thing. A lot of times they'd stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, Jonah walking in, repent. 40 days God's going to judge you. That's what I was prophesying. But it wasn't. Now the winning numbers on the lotto next week are. Look at chapter 12 of the same passage there. Verse number 27. Now are you the body of Christ? And members in particular. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. And after that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government. He says, verse number 29, are all apostles? That's called a rhetorical question. It means you know the answer.
Right.
It means no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. But why did he say, turn the page. Turn the page over to chapter 14. Are all prophets? No. So why does he say in chapter 14, verse 31? He says, that for ye may all prophesy. Maybe he's not talking about the same thing. Maybe one is a supernatural knowledge that's passed off the scene, not knowledge. Maybe one's supernatural healing. Does God still heal? I've seen it a few times in our ministry.
Amen.
Does God still heal? Yeah, but are there still supernatural healers? No.
That's right.
Is there still knowledge around? Yeah, supernatural knowledge. Like they were laying the Bible out till the Bible was complete and perfect? No. He says here, what's he mean that all may prophesy? Look back at chapter 14, verse 3. He tells you, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's not some ecstatic, unknown, mystical words. He said, for today, what we do when you're prophesying today is you're edifying people they can understand. That's what I'm trying to do here tonight.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, that word edification means to build you. The word exhortation means to encourage you. The word comfort means to console you on what God has a plan for your life. That's what we're hopefully doing. I want you to turn over here. We got to wrap this one up. Boy, we didn't get very far. Look at 1 Peter. 1 First Peter. You got the verses, though.
Amen.
And I'm just going to tell you, I'll just say it this kind of quick. You got 1 Peter, but then open your hand out just real quick. I'll give you the names. Hopefully you know. Number 4, men and women as biblical examples of the prophet Elijah. That's the first one. Letter B, he confronted sin and sinners. His goal is to get people to make a decision, repent. If your gift is prophecy, your plan is you want people to get right with God. Number C, obedience to the word of God seemed extreme. Elijah said, if they're not going to obey the Bible, cut their heads off. Letter D, spiritual. He went from people who are prophets, their danger is they go from a spiritual high to a spiritual low in a moment. 1 minute, Elijah is praying, God, send fire from heaven. And the next chapter, he's saying, God, I've had it. I'm sick of it. It's enough now, Lord. Kill me, I pray thee. I beg you, would you kill me? Peter, 1 minute, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. 5 seconds later, he grabs Jesus and he rebukes him and says, it shall not be so unto thee. You're not going to die on the cross. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He went from a statement that God put in his mouth to a statement that Satan put in his mouth that fast. And that's a prophet. I wish you had time to look at it. We don't. John the Baptist was a prophet. Bible calls him a prophet. He preached in a letter B for repentance. He used scripture. Prophets love the Bible. They love scripture. And they want to prove everything by the Bible. Letter D, fearlessly preached against sin by discerning and exposing it. The Pharisees, everybody was coming. The soldiers were coming. Everybody's coming. He sees the Pharisees and he said, you den of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath that comes? They said, well, we want to get baptized. He said, go get fruits meat for repentance. He said, I'm not baptizing you. You guys don't even understand salvation. He's blunt. He preached for a changed life, letter E. Letter F, acutely aware of his personal unworthiness. A prophet a lot of times will point out other people's faults and sins, but he sure can see his own too. Peter fell on his face at times and said, depart from me, O Lord. Somebody, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Not knowing what he said. He just had to say something. He sees Jesus still the storm. He falls to his feet and said, depart from me, God. I'm a sinful man. You shouldn't be hanging around me. I'm a wicked person. Letter F, powerful in his preaching, but humble in his response. John was very powerful, but very humble, wasn't he? He said, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. H, they exercise discernment in others' motives. John, letter I, when alone, became dangerously depressed. The same guy that said, there he is, behold the Lamb of God, was sitting in a prison saying, I'm not really sure anymore. He sent two of his disciples, said, just ask Jesus, I'm confused, what's going on here? Art thou he that should come, or seek we for another? Jesus, are you really the Messiah or not? Letter H, they exercise discernment in others' motives. J, they preach for conviction, not a crowd.
Amen.
He said, Herod, he walked up to Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And he got his head to Baptist preacher, got his head cut off because he had some people that he preached to that liked to dance. And they said, cut that Baptist preacher's head off and bring it to me on a plate. He's a prophet. His goal was to lift up Christ. Man, I'm telling you, every one of these, what you can do is you can see the positives and the negatives. What I'll probably do is, if you're interested, you ask your pastor. I'll give you the answers later, but I do want you to look at 1 Peter. We're there, and I'll wrap it up on this one. Sorry, I said 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Verse 17, he received from the Lord the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him exceeding glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven, we heard. And we were with him in the Holy Spirit. I said, man, we saw miracles. We heard the voice of God. We saw the glory of God, but he said, you got something better. He said, we were in the Holy Mount. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of what?
Prophecy.
You're holding it in your hands.
That's right.
Amen. God, when he wrapped the book up, he said, this book of the prophecy, you add a word to it, I'll add the plagues of hell to you. You take a word out of the book of this prophecy, I'll take your name out of the book of life. This is called the book of the prophecy. I got the verse, you can look at them.
Yeah.
He said, you got it. That's better than hearing the voice of God. Say, well, why? Because you might not know if it's God or pizza from last night.
Come on.
A more sure word. That means more stable than hearing the voice of God. You're holding it. He said, we have the more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye dwell, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and the day star, that's Christ, arise in your heart. Knowing this verse, that know what? Prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You got it. Now that might be your gift. I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to show you a couple other things that might help you understand what your gift is a little bit more. I'll go went over here a little bit. Brother Joel, you go ahead.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute break. Just hold on real quick. That passage you read to us, Romans 12, 1 and 2. How many of you preachers have ever preached out of that passage? I'm raising my hand.